Well, good afternoon, everyone. Today, I'd like to talk about a subject of role models, and specifically, role models in the millennium. Now, a good place to start would be to define what a role model is. Vocabulary.com states, a role model is someone others look up to as a good example. Such people could include family members, teachers, celebrities, world leaders, or even superheroes. In this August issue of Youth 85, the magazine put out by the church specifically for teenagers, they ran a survey to determine who the readership's biggest heroes were. The results were published in February's issue of Youth 86. The top 10 answers were parents, God the Father and Jesus Christ, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, a friend, US President Ronald Reagan, a minister, Princess Diana, grandparents, gymnast Mary Lou Retton, and the singer Bruce Springsteen. The magazine also asked respondents to explain why they looked up to the people they had chosen. One, a 17-year-old girl in Trinidad who had chosen Jesus Christ, stated, "My list of heroes and heroines is headed by the bravest and most courageous man that has ever walked the earth, Jesus Christ. This man was the most righteous man that has ever lived, and he gave his life for a pack of sinners. I would like to see Rambo beat that." Love that comment. That was in 1985. Today, things have changed a little bit. Whilst researching the material for this subject, I came across an article titled 20 Famous Role Models That Are Actually Terrible People. Out of these 20, I chose a few more recognisable ones, and this is what the article says about them. Coming in at number 17, we have Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus is a little like Lindsay Lohan. When she was younger, and she still isn't all that old at only 24, she was successful, and it looked as though she had everything going for her. Then adulthood hit, and everything changed. Cyrus lives her life always looking for the shock factor in everything she does. If you don't believe me, just type her name into Google search, and the first 5 results will verify things for you. She is no longer the Hannah Montana that everyone once knew and loved. She is more like a young female version of Howard Stern. Now that's not anyone you'd want your young daughter looking up to. We have it. Number 11. Justin Bieber. Some of the younger generation want to look up at Justin Bieber as a role model. Here are a few reasons why they shouldn't. He flashes people. He attacks members of the paparazzi. Spits on people, relieves himself in public, gets involved in hit-and-run accidents, assaults his own bodyguards, abandons his pets, vandalizes property with graffiti, hangs out in brothels, eggs neighbors' houses, and was arrested for a DUI. Does anything else need to be said about Mr. Bieber? All of this, coupled with the fact that he can't sing, dance, or act, show you why he shouldn't be a role model for anyone. Their words, not mine. And finally, at number 10, Kanye West. When most people don't win an award, they graciously congratulate the winner and keep their mouth shut. Apparently, Kanye was brought up a little differently. In 2004, when he didn't win the award for Best New Artist, he told the AP in an interview that he was robbed. He did then win an award a few years later, but during the ceremony he lost out on another, and got angry again. During the winner's acceptance speech, he interrupted things and went on a long tirade of bad language to show how angry he was. One time he broke a camera belonging to a member of the paparazzi, and doesn't he have ties with the Kardashian family? Enough said. These people are just a few of the world that the world looks up to and tries to emulate in every way. But you only have to scratch the surface a little bit to realise these people are not living the way that leads to peace, happiness and prosperity. But who can we look up to as role models? Well, in the Bible we are given numerous examples of good role models, and although none of them are perfect and they all made mistakes, it is how they handled those mistakes that provides so many important lessons for us to learn today. We are all in training to be part of God's family. So let's start at the beginning of God's spiritual family, with Abraham. Abraham has many, many qualities that make him an excellent role model. But the quality that shines through most is brought out in Genesis 12. So if you'd like to turn with me, please, to Genesis 12, we'll read the following. So Genesis 12, and we'll start in verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What was being promised to Abraham was fantastic. To be a blessing, to have a great name, even to be made a great nation, to be protected from all those who wished him harm. As I'm sure you can agree, that's an awful lot to think about. But what did Abraham do? Well, the answer is given in the very next verse. It's Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham departed. That's it. He was told, and he went. Complete faith and obedience. He just packed up and left, not even knowing where it was yet he was destined to go to. This complete faith in God is also brought out a little later on, in Genesis 22, where we are told that God commanded Abraham to take his beloved son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. Even though I'm sure Abraham was distraught by the thought of sacrificing his long-awaited son, it simply states in verse 3, I'll read it so you don't have to turn to it, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place where God had told him." This characteristic of obeying God unquestionably is a vital lesson for all potential members of God's family to learn. God does not want another Satan. The next role model I'd like to discuss is the founding father of the still extant ruling dynasty of Israel, King David. King David started his life as a humble shepherd, and when God commanded Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint the new king of Israel, David wasn't even on the list. It was only when Samuel asked, "Is this all of your sons?" that David was sent for. His attitude towards the present king, Saul, I'm sure left many of his peers astounded. He knew the law of God, and he knew that the law of God forbade the doing of any harm to God's anointed. So when he found himself in a situation where Saul was at his mercy, he said in 1 Samuel 24, verse 6, "And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbade that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.'" King David obeyed all of God's laws, but even he was human and imperfect. David lusted after another man's wife, even going so far as to order the man to be killed in order to cover up his own sin. However, when he was confronted with his guilt, David didn't try to blame it on someone else. He took complete responsibility for his mistake. If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 51, and we'll sort of see what David wrote about the event. That's Psalm 51, and we'll start in verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge." David was completely and utterly repentant, and because he repented so thoroughly each time he slipped up, he earned the accolade of a man after God's own heart. Surely there can be very few titles greater than that. There are also many role models in the New Testament, many more than I could ever cover in a sermonette. So I will pick a group of 12 people who, once they had been shown God's glory and the way of life, gripped it so firmly in their hands and did not let go, even to their own deaths. I am, of course, speaking of the disciples that followed Christ and later on became the founding members of the church in AD 31. Their tenacity was such that, as we shall see, they heard of the, they held on to the truth even when others were leaving. If you would turn with me to John 6, and we'll read of this event. That's John 6, and we'll start reading in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. These words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus spoke to the 12 and said, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They saw just how precious the gift that Christ was offering them was, and they were totally committed. They will be given rulership over the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennium, and we can learn many lessons of faith and commitment from these men. They were taught by Christ face to face, but in our time today, our apostle, Mr. Armstrong, was also taught by Christ, just through the written word. Mr. Armstrong provides another strong example of obedience, even when he did not yet understand why. In the Good News of September 1985, he wrote, my wife and I have been keeping the several annual Sabbath days for 14 years, before that the first 7 years alone by ourselves, and the next seven with the parent church of the Church of God for our time and era. It takes a lot of faith to keep God's annual holy days with no understanding for so many years. But he understood that God had commanded it, and he did it. In conclusion, we have looked at just a few of the many, many role models that we've been given by God. Abraham, King David, the disciples, even Mr. Armstrong. But there is one more category we could look at. Ourselves. We will be the role models for those in the millennium and the Great White Throne judgment period. We who are living now in the final years of the rule of Satan. We will become part of the kingdom of God, ruling and teaching those who have come through the tribulation and those who are resurrected after the millennium, many of whom will be people we have known personally. This world chooses role models based on popularity, no matter how appalling their lives actually may be. We have role models that will lead us to be part of the very kingdom and family of God.